Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 15. I'm Jack.
I'm Jay.
So we're going to start today by talking about Tottenham's best ever big game player after the absolute demolition of Chelsea, which we'll come on to later. So is there anyone for you that sticks out? Tottenham's best ever big game player. So those games against Arsenal, Chelsea, the cup finals, big European nights.
Arguably, your best players down the years have been the best big game players. Because you don't really remember the fact that Alan Hutton used to have an absolute barnstormer whenever we played
Man United.
He did against United. I was going to say, whenever we played away at Newcastle, you're never going to remember that. And Jermaine Defoe was a player, especially after a few years. He didn't turn up for the big games. The big teams knew how to snuff him out. So he was absolute. You know, when we're playing Wigan and we're scoring goals,
he's banging five.
But he wouldn't be there. But I definitely have Ledley for making crunching tackles.
The king.
Gareth Bale for turning those really, you know, those really tight nil nils into 3 points and at the death. And that really characterises, you know, that, and we've got a whole list of those, haven't we, that we can go through, even added by all.
Well, it's interesting you say him, actually, because his name's been mentioned a few times. So I put this out on social media this morning. So as always, some fantastic responses. So I'll just whiz through a few of them. So Rose Putin on Reddit says, of my generation, Van der Vaart is a good shout, but really it has to be Kane.
Yeah.
Not only does he have plenty of goals against Arsenal, Chelsea and West Ham, but has also scored against the biggest teams in the world in Europe. Yeah. I mean, that's a great show. His goal scoring record is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal. Halby on Reddit has just said Jimmy Greaves.
Wow.
Which is, you know, it's always a good answer to any Spurs question, isn't it? Spurs Russ on Reddit, Bale had an exceptional record by the end.
Yeah.
Not sure if he was the best big game player, but never see a guy score more injury time goals than Gareth.
Yeah.
Balls of steel.
Absolutely. But it was his determination. When others were starting to...
Yeah.
When the seeds of self-doubt were starting to sow themselves across the rest of the team, he would drive that team on along with Van der Vaart.
Those goals that he scored in his last couple of home games, remember against Southampton and Sunderland? I know they weren't big games, but they were just phenomenal. Cut onto his left foot, bang, top corner.
From nowhere.
The guy was a machine. Yeah. KA Homedog on Reddit said, Genius is a bit of a wild card, at least in terms of scoring.
Yeah.
Pretty average in majority of games, though. Which actually, you know what, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, the Arsenal game, he was a man possessed.
Yeah.
Like, if you would have picked anyone out of the 22 to have on a random drug test after that game,
what,
Jermaine Genius, just whenever we played
them. Whenever we played Arsenal, yeah.
I remember because the semi-final when we pumped them 5-1, he scored in both legs.
He did.
I remember us drawing 2-2 at home with them, and he got a last-minute equaliser. He scored in the 4-4. So actually, his goal-scoring record against them was pretty good, but... he was excellent in those big games, Genius. Just a shame that he probably wasn't as consistent enough.
And went missing so often.
Injuries as well, didn't he? Picked up a lot of injuries.
You know, if that was the state of our midfield, if that was the best we had to offer, England fringes, Jermaine Genius, you know, we were never really... Saying that, he was part of a new wave that I was really excited about back in the day.
How do you think he'd be a good player under Pochettino?
No.
I was going to make a case for him, but...
I don't think he's physical enough.
That's interesting.
I think unless you are... I mean, there's a few players that aren't particularly physical in our current 11 that you go, still get in because they know how to win the ball back in other ways. And that's definitely Eriksen.
Yeah.
Doesn't put a foot in, does he? He's all about the interception.
Yeah.
And Son. Son and Moura from nowhere.
Yeah.
Have started
those ratty players, isn't it?
Yeah,
even Harry Winks as well. Yeah,
they had to harry the opposition down as part of that pack.
Yeah,
but no, I don't think he would, to be honest.
That's interesting.
But it's hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah,
who wouldn't? Who isn't? I'm sure we'll get onto it. But so many of us have written off Moussa Sissoko.
Sissoko,
the sock.
We're now calling him the sock.
We're calling him the sock, but I'm sure we'll get onto that.
We will definitely talk about him in a bit.
Yeah.
A couple of other names that were thrown out. So Mayfair Smooth on Reddit, King, as you mentioned, was so injury prone he couldn't train and was rested for small games. Only played the big games, and we had something like an 86% win rate with him at one point during the Redknapp era. My favourite Ledley King story was just, he'd been out for 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
We were playing Liverpool away.
Yeah.
We hadn't won there for 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Harry says to him, "How are you feeling about the weekend?" And Ledley was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I'll travel up with the squad. Like, great to be back in." And Harry said, No. I could really do with you starting." And he said to him, "Harry," he said, "end of the season, you know, we've not really got anything on this game. I wouldn't want to play and break down. I just, the thought of having to go for all that again is just, you know, too much." So Harry said to him, "Okay, Ledley, you know, come up, travel on the Saturday, see how you feel." So Ledley being Ledley goes up, Saturday morning, wanders around the pitch. "You know what, I'll give it a go." We won 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, it's just phenomenal. The guy's unbelievable.
And that's Harry.
Yeah, that's
that
Harry.
That was Harry.
As well.
You know, I mean, the fans absolutely. I mean, I think he clearly left under a cloud, with all of that tax scandal and stuff and that big falling out with Levy, but I don't think he got the plaudits he deserved.
I will only ever say
we just had calamitous manager after calamitous manager. Yeah, Martin Yall brought a bit of stability.
I like Martin Yall, but my only problem with Martin Yall is he should have chinned Wenger when he had the chance in that game.
Yeah.
And if he had done that, he'd still be the Spurs manager if he had done that.
He was way too nice.
He might be in prison, but you know, but
he
that's
was
fun.
Way too nice.
Lovely
he was
fella.
Way too nice.
But what you said about Harry, I would only ever say good things about Redknapp.
Yeah.
You know, like he brought back what Spurs is, which is attacking football.
Yeah.
And also the inconsistency, which down the years is what Spurs have been. You know, he was true to our values. We played some great stuff with some great memories, you know.
He knew how to get the best out in a different way to Pochettino. He knew how to get the best out of players.
Yeah.
And I think they all rose to it under him. And actually now he's getting a lot of chat right now on Twitter, isn't he? Because of
he's brilliant on I'm a Celeb.
What
fantastic!
I about 8 years ago I stopped watching it on principle because it is crap. It is the worst of the lot, isn't it? And my kids are slowly but surely just pulling me back in with their stories of Redknapp on I'm a Celebrity. It's nuts.
But
I don't think he's getting a fair. He's still getting the piss taken out of him.
Yeah,
by our fans on Twitter.
It's mixed, isn't it? So, because some Spurs fans, like you say, are just not fans of him anymore. Yeah. But I say, you know what? For where we were when he took over to what he produced for us in that spell,
Champions League football,
it was brilliant. It was brilliant. And you know what? I don't think it'd be fair to compare him to Poch. But where we are now is a step above where Harry could ever have taken us. But then you'd argue, without the Harry years, would we
have got
be
that?
Where we are?
No,
you don't know, do you?
Yeah.
A couple other names on the best big game players. Daniel Goddard Miller on Facebook. This is brilliant, this one. This is so niche and so specific. And this is why I love putting these questions out. William Causton. He once scored a brace against Man United in May 2001 and did nothing else.
I remember that.
So for that 90 minutes...
God, I think I remember that now.
He was Tottenham's best big game player at that time. Fantastic. So
at the time, I remember, because he was just nowhere, wasn't he?
He was god-awful.
Just really bad. He had all everything Soldado had in terms of just froze in front of goal, just wasn't his movement wasn't there. And I actually remember that game now, thinking this could be a turning point. It wasn't.
17 years later,
he turned around and went backwards.
Yeah. KD_Reddit said, "I know Kane has been lethal against lots of big teams, but can we add Eriksen to this discussion? He's 5 assists and 1 goal this season, all against top teams," which is interesting. And you know what? You do sort of overlook the person playing that ball. You think back to all the assists that he has put on a plate in a lot of games. He's a truly fantastic player.
Absolutely.
And finally, Dan Hearn, Holiday Dan,
has
obviously got a lot of time on his hands.
He's got a lot of time.
Because he sent us an entire team of big game players.
Big game 11.
Big game 11. Gomez in goal. Purely for that Woolwich game where he saved everything. His defence, he's gone Steve Carr.
Yeah, obviously.
Best goal I've ever seen.
Best goal ever.
King, Alderweireld, Rose.
Yeah.
Carrick and Gazza, centre midfield.
Yeah.
Ginola in the hole, and then Van der Vaart, Bale, and Kane up front. So, I mean, well done, Dan, for going that extra mile. Like, you're clearly very, very busy out there at the minute. Love it. Fantastic
Brilliant stuff.
So, there's a selection of players over the years that have been real big game players for Spurs.
Yeah.
There was a small game at the weekend that we'll spend a few minutes talking about.
Little one. I only go to the little games these days.
Exactly. Chelsea at home. Now, I'm gonna take a step back. Yeah. So I woke up Saturday morning. Normally, Chelsea at home, I am buzzing. From the minute I wake up, I'm like, really? Here we go, this is it. Yeah. I didn't feel that on Saturday. I don't know what it was. I was a bit like, nah. I don't know if it was Wembley or what it was, but I wasn't as pumped up the morning of that for what I normally am. Go throughout my day, get over a little bit earlier, met up with yourself, your boy and Abbas in the pub before. And then it started to really get going and you're thinking, okay, we've got Chelsea kickoffs, you know, an hour and a quarter away, and you sense it all building.
Yeah.
They had the rugby on, there was good atmosphere, weren't there, in there? Like, it was good in there.
Yeah.
Get in the ground, see the team, and you think, right, here we go, this is it now. I mean, the first 20 minutes, that honestly, that's one of the most one-sided 20 minutes I've ever seen watching Spurs.
Unbelievable.
We come out the blocks flying, absolutely flying. And I thought what was interesting is, when we first got Poch, we played this high press. That was the way we played. The last couple of years, we seem to have moved away from that and been a bit more of a possession-based side. Not at the weekend. Literally, we were pressing them
first and second
in their box.
Yeah, first and second ball.
And it was incredible. Yeah, because a lot of the pressing this season has been a little bit, Harry will go and he'll see if he can...
Have a nibble.
He'll have a nibble. Yeah, perfect. If he doesn't get it, then we'll drop off.
Yeah.
They weren't there for just a nibble, were they? They were there to...
Right into it.
Exactly. Yeah. And we were just, they couldn't get a kick. They couldn't get out. We were picking everything up, winning free kicks. I mean, Kane's overall performance, you knew after a minute that he was up for it because a ball got played up to him, he held it, he shrugged Rudiger out the way, and you're thinking, oh, here we go. He's going to have one of them games.
Absolutely.
He wins the free kick for the first goal, which is a ball up the channel, I think, from Serge Aurier, who we'll talk about him in more detail in a minute. He was fantastic. And he just sells Luiz. Luiz trips him. Yeah. Free kick. Eriksen and Davis over it. Eriksen fizzes in, doesn't he? A really powerful cross.
Yeah.
Ali gets in front of his man, balls at the back of the net, 1-0. We're going absolutely crazy. I'm sure you were as well.
I think the minute it's Ali, you know, I think we talked about this before. Ali has to get on the score sheet because it's Chelsea, because they hate him. The minute it's Ali, that's just going to lift everyone. That was the perfect start to the most perfect opening 8 minutes I think I've ever seen Tottenham play. It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
And I go back, let me go back for a minute.
Yeah.
I spent the whole week thinking, yeah, this is the Chelsea team that they've not had for a few years. Mm. Well, they've had it, they've not had the leadership. This is the team they're billing as genuine contenders to Liverpool and to Man City for the title. They've only strengthened in the middle. They've just, Kante's just got a new contract, so he'll be firing, and he was.
Yeah.
$300,000 a week.
He's worth every penny.
He's worth. But he did the work of three men. Kovacic.
He got Sissoko'd, didn't he?
He got absolutely done. And actually after that, he just disappeared. Yeah. And we kept talking about Jorginho. But I saw nothing in those players. And I know you highlighted we were doing a number on him throughout.
Oh.
But to be honest, I saw nothing. And actually, I was down the Chelsea or sort of our end.
Yeah.
I was in the lower tier just because I could.
Yeah.
I was quite low down, and they were advancing the ball into our box a lot. But for me, we play every single player was mentally prepared. Yeah. And I think the break, the international break, had something to do with it. I think it helped us.
Yeah, it was a bit of a reset.
It was a bit of a reset, just when we needed it. Ali was just coming back, played the perfect 20 minutes against Croatia, supporting Kane when we just came back. That's going to lift them.
Yeah.
I think Kane was rested when he needed to be, and played an amazing game on that pitch a week prior.
Yeah.
Eriksen had the perfect build-up for Denmark as well. And I think... It was the first time Kane, Son, Ali, Eriksen have played together. That front four.
And it showed,
didn't it? Almost not having Moura there as a new player playing different little runs, wanting the ball in slightly different places, helped us.
There's a couple of points. Lucas Moura, I think, is an excellent player, by the way, and I think he brings something different to Spurs. But I think he take him and Kane take up a lot of similar positions.
Yeah, they do.
And they crowd each other out a little bit. Yeah. I don't think you get the best of either player when they're both on the pitch. Often when Lucas plays, he plays the highest man and Kane drops a little bit and gets involved in the play, which in certain games is better. Definitely wouldn't have been the case for Chelsea because Kane leading the line and just being that aggressive, horrible centre forward and Son just being everywhere else on the pitch was fantastic. Jorginho, your point on him. I was talking to you in the pub before the game saying he's their man. He's the one. He's a fantastic player. Yeah. Everything goes through them. Every single attack that Chelsea created this season goes through Jorginho. Brilliant player. Difficult to get the ball off of him. Ali was absolutely phenomenal in every aspect. For me, that's the best he's played for us, Dele Alli, in a game. From an attacking point of view, he caused so many issues. But Jorginho, I'd love to see the stats. He made a lot of passes, but they were all backwards or sideways because Ali kept him facing his own goal. And to be able to do that for 90 minutes, to have the, first of all, just the fitness to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to outrun you for an hour and a half. Yeah. Me beat you, I'm going to beat you. It is incredible. And then to still go when we win the ball and create from an attacking point of view is fantastic. And I honestly, when it went 2-0, before it went 2-0 actually, there was that Son chance where he played it to Eriksen. Eriksen with a little 1-2 dinked it over the back foot and Son put it over. And I thought, we're going to really, really wish that that had gone in. That's going to come back to bite us. Because then a couple of minutes later, they should have had a penalty, which we need to talk about.
It was a penalty.
Fourth on Hazard. Not a lot in it. Penalty.
Right in front of me.
It's a penalty.
Yeah. I couldn't believe. I mean, you get caught up in it and I'm like, that's a penalty. And then, of course, we all stand up and go, well, book him then for diving. I didn't really believe it was a dive. He was properly taken out. I haven't seen it since. It was right in front of
me. It's similar to what Forth did in the Wolves game. Nuri just goes through the side of the play and you think, that's a penalty.
But he had a really good game.
He was solid. Yeah. Really, really solid.
A couple of clearances off the line.
Yeah.
And he was making really good decisions about where he needed to be at the right time. And he was there. You could see him talking all the time, Toby.
Yeah.
They're all the time.
And what a player for him to be learning from as well, which is just phenomenal. What I love about Foyth is, and this actually, I'd still, for Tongan and Toby, still the partnership, don't get me wrong, but Foyth brings something different at the back because he's got a passing range that's not too far away from Toby's, which you might listen to that and think, what are you talking about? But with them both back there, the 60-yard switches of play is relentless. Yeah. Because you know when Toby gets it, teams often will then drop.
Yeah.
But when Vertonghen or Sanchez has got it, they're a little bit more, okay, you probably can't hurt me from that range. Foyth can. He plays these balls in and you think, my God, like that's incredible.
That
and I think that's because his career as a youth team player was as an attacking player. Yeah. So he's got the vision, he sees a picture.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. He was brilliant.
In fact, when we were in the pub, and I remember switching the Sky app on, looking at the team. Our two worries were Serge Aurier and Juan Foyth, weren't they?
They were.
Both of them
were.
On that side. I mean, like, the entire line. Ben Davis as well on the left. They all had, the without doubt, the best game they've ever played.
They're all at maximum.
They're
definitely.
All at 100%.
Definitely.
In terms of their delivery and their commitment. And I think it was down to Sissoko, really. We called it, didn't we? We went to... It's definitely not going to be Kieran Trippier, is it? On the right.
Yeah.
So he's going to play Serge and he's going to play Sissoko tucking in.
And they work well together, them two.
They work brilliantly.
They really do work well together. The second goal as well, let's talk about that. So Kane picks the ball up halfway inside the Chelsea half. And before you knew it, the ball's in the back of the net.
He didn't even hit it.
It was phenomenal.
Fucking passed it into the net.
Phenomenal. And the way he uses Luiz, I mean, it's poor defending from Luiz, but the way he uses him to just block out Kepa's view of it, because he doesn't even see it, the keeper, until it's already past him. Just the fact that the audacity to shoot from there is just unbelievable. And when that went in, we were just the scenes were crazy, unbelievable.
Limbs, as they say.
We were going absolutely mad, and you're just thinking at that point,
My
God. And then we had chances. Son had another one. He got past Rudiger and got in.
Yeah.
Keeper saved it. Right on half time, Eriksen cut it back to Son into the box. Keeper saved it. It was 2-0 at half time. And I genuinely was sitting there thinking, we should be 4 or 5-0 up.
And we're going to regret it.
And like, if it had been 4-5 nil at half time, that would not have been an unfair scoreline. Like, we murdered them. Yeah. They got nowhere near us.
They did come out fighting, though.
They did. And you know what?
Missed the first couple of minutes.
We expected that. Yeah. Like, they were never going to lie down. I was surprised he didn't make any changes.
Yeah.
I honestly thought at half time he should have taken off Jorginho. If it had took Jorginho off and moved Kante back there, that would have just left us with a lot of questions, like, what's Ali going to do? It would just give him... But he didn't do anything. He changed it tactically a little bit, sorry. But we got the ball, didn't we? Dele Alli picks it up, plays a beautiful ball up the side, and then the rest from Son is... That's one of the best goals you'll see this season.
That was Son. Right in front of me.
Talk us through it.
Right in front of me. And I thought, here he goes. Here comes Jorginho. The legendary Jorginho. There's no way. He's had an iffy... He's getting into some great positions, Son. But his finishing's not quite been there. A couple of passes got right. I don't think he's having his best. He looks... Of all of them, Son just felt a little bit rusty. And when you've missed a couple of clear chances, your heart drops. But the thing about Son, he'll miss a couple and then he'll bang in an absolute worldie. It doesn't affect him.
He reminds me of Robbie Keane in terms of he'd always get in the position.
Yeah, he'll always get in the position, and having missed a couple of sitters, it's not going to get in his head at all. But the run, I thought Jorginho was immediately going to get tied to him. He just peeled off, and I couldn't. The acceleration, I just
with the ball as well.
With the ball, I couldn't believe it. Overcomes what's his chops?
Stevie Wonder.
Oh my God! No. David Luiz, I thought David Luiz is going to scythe through him. He's going to go in two-footed. He's going to get it done. It's like he just ballet dances past him. Unbelievable. David Luiz was terrible.
He was poor.
I think that would go down as any other half decent defender would take him out at that point. Just outside the box, he'd just take him out.
He doesn't even need to. He just needs to come across. He can just hold him.
Stop, hold him up.
Because it was, and they showed it on Match Today, it was a real 4v1. He was the only man up, Son. There was no one anywhere near him. They could have just held him in the corner, made suicidal defending. Beautiful finish, bottom corner. And then at that point.
At that point, we were going mental. My Bovril was gone. You know when it starts trickling down under the seats in front of you? See you later, Bovril. I didn't care.
It was incredible. And then everyone singing Nice One, Sonny, Nice One, Son was brilliant as well.
Loved it.
But we had more chances. The Kane one that he put over,
where
we
that
broke.
Was a sitter.
And it went to Sissoko. Lovely ball squared to him. You'd have put everything you've owned ever.
He just leant back, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I saw, it was right in front of, oh my God.
I couldn't believe it that he put it over.
How did he miss that? But again, it's not going to bother him. He gets it.
We could have had more. Ali had one that he put just wide. That was another good chance. There's probably more that I've forgotten, to be honest. But they got the consolation with Giroud. I'm
surprised they didn't bring Giroud on earlier.
So was
I. But to be fair, again, Morata in the first half was seeing enough of the ball. We were just very tight when we needed to be.
I just think
the rush of white shirts back.
Yeah.
Was brilliant.
It was just a box around the ball.
It was
everywhere
tense,
it went.
It was always tense because with Hazard, and see, that's the closest I've been to Hazard, you know, in full
he's
flow.
A good player.
He is bloody good.
He's a good player.
And he pops up everywhere across that line. You think he's on the left, he's not. Just when you think he's on the left, he's there on the right.
He's so clever at not being marked because he's always offside.
Yeah.
And that might sound strange to people that maybe don't see as much live football as they want to, but he's always in an offside position.
Yeah.
So the defender's like, okay, he's offside, I'm not worried. And then he'll just pop back onside, player 1-2. He's so difficult to pick up because he takes up positions that are a nightmare for defenders.
And actually, Willian got pillaged, I think, in the media. I thought he had an all right game. And I think what I could see for the first time, he's got a very good understanding with Hazard.
Mm.
Those two play together.
They link well.
They link really well. I'll tell you who is the offside merchant is Morata. He does not have a clue.
You know what?
And they know. He's the player with the most offside infringements in the league this season. Mm. And you can see why. Three in the first half. And it's just mental.
He's not rated, Morata. No one seems to think he's any good. I actually think he's a really, really good and clever centre-forward. He's in the team that just do not play to his strengths whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's a bit like us with Soldado. We never used to play to what he wanted. I think Morata's in that same bracket, in a different side. I think Morata's someone who wants the ball in behind early. He's a bit, not a Jamie Vardy type four, but he wants to run the channel.
Yeah.
And he can link play quite nicely. What he's not good at is back to goal, balls getting fired into his chest, because he's not a very physical centre forward.
No, he's not.
And like Foyth was, you know, Foyth's not a very big lad, but he was more than comfortable dealing with him.
He's Argentinian though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got that nasty streak, hasn't he? Hello to all of our Argentinian listeners. Hello.
Yes.
But that was why I was surprised Giroud didn't start, because I thought they'd have looked at that and gone Aurier and Foyth.
I'm amazed he didn't start more. I think he'd have terrorised us.
He's got a good scoring record against us. He took his goal, didn't he? But you know, at 3-1, or any Spurs fan will tell you, at 3-1 it was 3-1. Nervy.
Yeah, it was nervy.
It was nervy.
Yeah, I stayed to the end.
In a game,
it was only at 90 that I thought, okay, I think we've got this.
But it needed
4 minutes to come up.
Yeah.
Because I thought it might be longer. And we should talk about some of our challenges. And I think it's that physicality. You know, when Poch talks about mentality and physicality, leave one on them early. Yeah. And we were doing that everywhere.
We were. There was a Sissoko tackle.
Aurier on Kovacic was outstanding.
That was Sissoko.
Yes, he absolutely clattered him.
Dyer smashed Barkley. As Barkley came on, the first thing that happened to Barkley was Dyer just took him out.
Yeah.
He was just... we were so good. And Sissoko, we've talked about him quite a lot this season on the podcast, rightly so, because he's been excellent. At the minute, you can't leave him out. Because of what he's bringing to that side. He's basically doing what Kante does for Chelsea. Yeah. Recovering the ball, giving it simple, taking up good areas.
But do you know what? He still feels like the minute he's won the ball, I mean, I've got my head in my hands thinking, what's he going to do next? You just don't know what he's going to do next. We've got 2 years of history of just watching him
kick it out of play,
fluff his lines. He's that one, isn't he? He's got an amazing. He's in an amazing position.
Yeah,
you're right. He'll just
kick it out of play. It's not a
side
foot
it. Just side foot it out. And I think that concern is always there. But what a performance! I mean, if you think if it's taken him 2 years, and I know we. We can't talk about him in the same breath as Moussa Dembélé just yet. But when Pochettino came in, Moussa Dembélé was not at his peak. He's nowhere near the peak he very quickly arrived at under Pochettino. And you'd argue Moussa Dembélé's played his best years under Pochettino and with that coaching. And what Pochettino is absolutely channeled his aggression. And I think it's taken 2 years to get Sissoko's attitude,
isn't it?
But it's absolutely clicking. Are we going to miss Dembélé now? Would he even get into the starting
At the moment, I never thought I'd say this, Sissoko has to be playing at the moment. You can't leave him out.
No.
I think the only time you'd maybe at the minute leave him out is against the smaller side, so maybe he might not play against Arsenal.
To rotate.
But you know, in the bigger games where you need to recover the ball a lot quicker, and that's when he's at his best. I think if you're playing Southampton, maybe there's still a question mark as would you need him for that game? Could you play a more creative player? Probably you could. But in these bigger games, in these physical games, is exactly what you need. He's been fantastic.
I can't believe how strong he is on the ball as well.
He's a machine.
And it
gallops as well, doesn't he? With the ball.
It was played at such a pace. And there was the midfield just felt so compact, didn't it? It was stifling in there.
Yeah.
But his close ball control, just winning and just finding positions and space.
And mazy runs as well.
Those mazy runs.
At Newcastle, he used to get the ball and he'd run, wouldn't he? Just run with the ball. Anyone that would get in his way, just smash him out the way. He started doing that as well.
I liked that quote in that Independent article. The Moussa Sissoko, Tottenham's anarcho-syndicalist, many-limbed enigma, weaves Chelsea into his dizzying vortex of chaos. I think many of you will have read that. It was shared a lot.
And most of us still don't understand it.
It was just brilliant.
I want to talk about the right-back position as well. So at the minute, is it Aurier or is it Trippier?
I still think it's Trippier.
Do you?
Yeah. But the dogged determination we saw from Aurier.
Yeah. I think he's another one where it's a case of he needs a season.
Yeah,
in his season to get used to the Premier League. I say this quite a lot, the culture of moving countries for anybody, you're not going to settle instantly.
Yeah.
The way Pochettino wants to play,
it's
another one that it just seems to be clicking a little bit
It does. But and this was not necessarily a game that needed Aurier.
to be darting forwards. Yeah. Neither of them really did that. Ben Davis, they both got into some advanced positions, but by and large, they held their position.
Yeah.
On our side of the halfway line.
Yeah.
And I think what was it would in sort of the 70th minute, would you have seen Kieran Trippier take out Eden Hazard the way Aurier did?
Yeah.
And that was
he crunched him, didn't he? Yeah. He absolutely left.
That was the other side of the ground from it, right in the far left corner. And I felt it from me. I thought he's down. Yeah. I thought he's off.
Yeah.
I thought that's his season gone.
He was. They were all spectacular. As we said, there wasn't a single play. No, Loris as well, who I've criticised this season for games where he hasn't played well. Great game. Decision making fantastic. Yeah. Distribution fantastic. Yeah. He commanded his box on set pieces. I thought he had a top game as well. So,
well, what is it about November? Because I was sort of thinking this before the match. Mm. You know, we appear to click in November. Is this the time that we click?
I just think, you know, the way we play with such intensity. And for us to be at our best, a number of things have to be 100%. If you look at a side that's maybe not as technical, and I think back to the likes of like Stoke under Pulis and Allardyce teams, they don't have to play well to get good results because of their style. But for us to be at our scintillating best is when we're high intensity, playing out from the back, and a number of different factors have to be bang on for us to be at our maximum. If you play a more direct brand of football, you limit those factors massively. So you can play better football for what you want to do easier, if that makes sense. So I just think it takes time for us. And if you look back at all of the seasons we've had under Poch, we've taken time in all of them to get going. The difference this season's been, when we've not been playing great, we've still been winning, which makes you think, you know, we're 5 points behind City, who are on another level to anyone in Europe at the minute. Yeah. I think there's not a single team they wouldn't destroy. We're 5 points behind them. If we'd have beaten them at Wembley, we'd be above them.
You know what I keep thinking? If we'd have been at this level, we would have beaten them. If we'd have played this side, we'd have beaten them, and we'd have beaten Liverpool. We met Liverpool way too early in the season for us. And the reason we didn't start the way we wanted to, I still put down to the World Cup.
The World Cup does have an effect, and that
Asian Cup for Sonny.
It does have an effect.
It had a massive effect.
It definitely does. Zach on Facebook, the Big Z, just about the Chelsea game, said, thought that this game was the first this season in which every player gave it 100%.
Yeah.
Everything flowed, it all worked.
Yeah.
And you know what a perfect summary really to finish that Chelsea game. But it was one of the brilliant memories that I'll take away from Wembley when we leave there. That game was fantastic.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of games that we need to preview this week. So we've got Inter Milan Wednesday night, Champions League.
So you're going,
I'm going to that. My birthday Wednesday. So hopefully there'll be a little birthday treat there.
You're going to meet someone for a drink earlier?
I might be meeting my uncle. My uncle Keith is apparently...
I didn't know it was your birthday.
They're early. Yeah, it's my birthday Wednesday, so I'm just hoping for 3 points. I'm for a good night and 3 points.
Just
a three.
Well, I think you should get out there early.
I've got a day off work, so
you might as well then.
Might get out there a little bit earlier.
Soak it up.
There you go.
I think, is he going to stick to the same? He'll definitely start Lamella. I think Vertonghen will start.
But the thing is, if you start Lamella, who do you drop? From that,
I just think you need. Yeah, I mean, the one thing we have got is an extra day on Arsenal.
Yeah,
but Arsenal aren't in as precarious a position in their whatever that league is called.
Yeah,
group F against some team from.
You know what? From
Eastern Europe.
From having watched us in the Europa League a number of seasons, I honestly think that the biggest problem with it is you play on a Thursday night in the Europa League against a nobody team, and they are nobody teams, some of them, and you can be at 4 out of 10 and you can win 2-0, and then 3 days later you're playing a North London derby, and your level is nowhere near where it needs to be, whereas with us, we're going Chelsea into Arsenal. Well, we have to be at maximum in every game. There's no sort of, oh, we'll take this one a little bit easy.
I didn't even know where that is. Vorskla Poltava.
I mean, you're just making things up now, aren't you?
Do you know what? If anyone could just write in and tell me even which country that's in.
Or even how to spell the team.
Even how to spell it. But you're right. It does... And I think it might artificially inflate their confidence. Mm. But I don't think they'll you know, if there's anyone that's even a slight risk for Sunday, they'll get rested, because they're well ahead. I think they're on 10. I think they're nearest.
Yeah.
Lisbon's on 7 or whatever.
So they'll be okay.
They'll be all right. Whereas we have to play our best 11 if we've got a chance. And we will. We will play our best 11. Yeah. Kane will play 90. Whoever plays behind him. I don't know the state of Eriksen. Mm. I don't know the state of Ali.
Mm.
But you'd think if there's any risk, Lamella will come in and start for one of those two. Yeah. Son went off quite early.
Mm.
Actually, Ali went off quite early, didn't he? Ali went off on about
75, wasn't it?
And that all bodes well.
Yeah.
That all bodes really, really well. I think you have to rest some of the back line.
You hope that for Tongan, that I think for Tongan might play instead of Alderweireld. I think Foyth will play.
Sanchez is out, isn't he?
Sanchez is going to be out to the new year, which is a bit of a loss. He'll rotate a little bit, I think, for Inter, but I think one or two maximum.
Yeah.
And it will be 60-minute subs, like what you mentioned, I think. Yeah. So he might do something like Harry Winks might play in midfield.
Yeah.
He might do something like that. But I'm with you. I don't think there'll be many changes for that game, because that's a must-win game.
He'll have to play Sissoko.
I think
he has to play Eric Dyer.
I think Eric Dyer, I don't know what's happening with Wanyama, because he had that decent game against Palace. He wasn't even in the squad against Chelsea. So I'm not sure if he's just managing him back in, and maybe he'll play against Inter and then not against us. I'm not sure. But it's a massive game. It's a must-win game. We should have beaten them in the away game. We lost 2-1 with those two goals and injury time. I think we'll do it.
None of them will want to sit out after Saturday.
No.
They'll all want to go again. Yeah. All 11
Definitely.
Of them. And you just know that, don't you?
Definitely.
You know what it's
do,
like.
Do you think we'll get the result against Inter?
Yeah.
I think we will.
They're not that good.
I don't think they're that good either.
We were just appalling when we played.
For 5 minutes.
We were shocking at the end of the game.
Yeah. I think we'll get the job done. I think it'll be another 3-1, actually. Yeah. I think they'll get a goal, just because, you know, it's football at the highest level. The likelihood is they'll get something.
Yeah, yeah. They've got some quality.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. We just need to win our last two games.
We win our last two games, we're through.
With three,
and it's
irrespective
only
of what Inter do.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's in our hands. You hope that Barca smash PSV. They're then for us group winners. They might rest players in the last game. That's what you've got to think about, because they'll have nothing to play for in that last game. They'll be group winners. There'll be nothing. Like, no one can get above them. Why would you risk it?
Yeah.
You hope.
Yeah, there is that.
But we've got to get the job done on Wednesday night first, which I think we will do. And then at the weekend, we've got Arsenal.
Yeah, there's a few very, very quiet. I mean, there was a lot of shouty gooner action in my office last week.
Mm.
Put it this way, they were very quiet this morning.
It's interesting. You know what?
They were very, very, very quiet. And if you're listening, I'm going to forward this pod to you. You know exactly who you are.
And you're out of a job. I'm normally more relaxed when we play them away from home.
Yeah.
Because there's not as much... Yeah. There's more pressure on the home side in those games. But after that Chelsea win, if we go there at the weekend, I'm not saying I would take a draw. If we go there and draw, 4 points out of Chelsea and Arsenal would be fantastic. Fantastic return. And I think any Spurs fan would have taken that before those two games. If we go there and win, and you take 6 points from that, from those two Premier League fixtures... That's phenomenal. That's title winning results.
It is title
if
winning.
If we win at Arsenal at the weekend after beating Chelsea.
Jack, are you honestly saying you would take a draw?
I don't know if I would take
they
a
draw.
I don't know.
They are bang average.
I know they are, but I think
they
back,
are bang average.
I think back to the times we were bang average and we'd cause them problems, because it's a derby. Anything can happen in the derby. Last season they were bang average, let's be honest. We lost 2-0 at their place, didn't we? We were terrible. Start of the season, we were terrible.
Yeah.
And we played the occasion.
Yeah.
Whereas I agree with you, we're a better side than Arsenal.
To be fair, we rode our luck at Wembley.
In that one, though, well, they should have equalised, shouldn't they, at the end?
Really, 1-0. I mean, really. And they were terrible.
They were terrible.
I think it was the week after, or a few days after, we'd just beaten United as well.
Yeah.
Quite convincing. It was 2-0.
2-0.
Or 2-1.
That was the
convincing.
15 seconds weren't it, Eriksen? Yeah.
Dembele just...
But I've seen quite a lot of Arsenal this year, because it feels like Sky have had them on nearly every week. Yeah. And they've been picking results up. not playing too well, they take a lot of chances at the back, which gives you positives, because, I mean, if we press the ball the way we pressed it against Chelsea and they play the way they normally play, you'd think, well, we'll have a lot of chances. But what's got them out of trouble in a lot of games this season that they've won is they've got the firepower. And Lacazette, Aubameyang, Ozil, they get a chance, they're put in the back of the net.
And, so, and Ozil knows where to find them and knows the positions to pick up to find those players.
So I think it's going to be a very, very interesting game. I mean, these are the games that... This is what you're in football for, isn't it? A North London derby. You know, in fact, we've got them twice next month as well. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
Having said that, Ozil didn't even start.
No, he didn't play him.
Oh, he didn't play him. He was on the bench.
He didn't play him.
What do you make of that?
You don't know what's... He might have a little injury. He might just be resting him. He might have played a lot again. I'm not really too sure, to be honest. But do you think... What are you saying for the score?
I think we'll murder them. I think you take... I've not seen... This is quite an unprecedented position to be in. To have not just beat... Not just beaten Chelsea.
Dismantled.
To demolish them convincingly. I mean, it really could have been Wigan, couldn't it?
Yeah. It could have been.
I was seeing Wigan. I was seeing six or seven goals. You know, or do you remember that period? Not. It wasn't actually that long. About 7-8 years ago, when United beat Arsenal like 6-2,
8-2. Ashley Young was just bending them in the top corner, weren't he?
Yeah. And then City beat them 8-0. That was it. They lost 6-2 to United, and then 8-0 to Man City. City beat United. I was looking at one of those kind of scores.
Phenomenal.
So we're in uncharted territory here, and I genuinely think we'll demolish them again. They have not got... They've got less physicality about them than Chelsea. They haven't got anything like...
The thing is, I agree with you on all your points, that I think we're better in every position. We're a more aggressive team. We're better with the ball, better without the ball. But it's just, historically, in this fixture, we've struggled. Arsenal away, I think we've got 2 Premier League wins, and that's including the Emirates and Highbury. So, I mean, we're not good away from home there. We've not got a good record
at all. I think
we
do all right there, don't we? We've beaten them in the Carling Cup, and then there was that 3-2.
There was the 3-2. We didn't beat them. We drew 1-1 in that semi-final. Yeah. So, I mean, under Potts, we've had a couple of draws, a couple of one-alls. Yeah. I want to say we're going to go there and do them, but I think it will be a draw.
I mean, in all fairness, Xhaka's resurgent somewhat.
Obviously, I'm not bothered.
And I haven't seen enough of Torreira, but the goon is back at my office.
He's a tidy player.
He's a tidy player, actually. Yeah. Shades of Uruguayan about him as well. He's actually Uruguayan.
He'd be trused.
Because he is Uruguayan. Yeah.
What are you saying then? Scoreline, come on. Put your money where your mouth is.
4-0.
I think
an absolute demolition.
I think if we beat Arsenal 4-0...
Fire alarm on 65 minutes.
If it's Arsenal 0 Tottenham 4 at the weekend, this will be the last Echoes of Glory you've ever listened to, because we'll all be dead. Because we'll just be out, won't we?
It won't be another Copa Libertadores.
It will be done, won't we? Let's be honest. Let's wait and see for that game. But North London derby's white.
We are due a purple patch.
We're due a win there. If you look at it on the flip side, you know, and what are they, 16 games unbeaten? So they're due a loss. So, and you know what, to do it all in one game would be pretty fantastic. Yeah. It's time now for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
So I'm going to give you a game. So Simon Mitchell, Quizmasters, wrote in with a fixture. And today's game is Tottenham 5, Arsenal 1, which is the second leg of that Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
January 22nd, 2008. So for anyone that's not familiar with how this works, I will give you a game, which I've just done, and I'll give you half of the players that started for Spurs in that game.
Oh, no.
You've got to try and figure out the rest of them. So the goalkeeper that night... is one you've got to work out. Stop Googling it. Is one that you've got to work out. Right back, Pascal Chimbonda. Centre back, Ledley King. Other centre back, you've got to work out. Left back, Lee Young-pyo. Right midfield, you've got to work out. Centre midfield, Jermaine Genus. Centre midfield, you've got to work out. Left midfield, Steve Malbronk.
Brilliant.
Strikers, Dimitar Berbatov, and you've got to work the other one out.
And Pav.
Wasn't Pav. So you need to, you need to tell me the goalkeeper, a centre half, right hand side midfielder.
A goalkeeper. Okay, let's go goalkeeper. Striker.
Goalkeeper's the toughest one in this.
Friedel.
2008. So this
Guduccini.
Is
Guduccini.
Not Guduccini. He didn't
Coco,
play.
Coco, what's his name?
He didn't
play for Watford. I can't remember his name.
Gomez.
Gomez.
Not Gomez. 2008. He didn't play many games for us. So this is the year we won the cup.
Yeah.
Right, and you remember the final?
Yeah.
So can you remember who's in goal in the final against Chelsea when we beat them 2-1? Johnny Woodgate scored that game.
Yeah.
So Paul Robinson was in goal in that final, but it was Paul Robinson's understudy was in goal for this. We'll come back to that. I don't think you're going to get that one. So I need a centre half. So the first one's Ledley King.
Not the other American.
No, not an American. Not Casey Keller.
Not Casey Keller. No, it's a different era, isn't it? Casey Keller's a
different era.
Yeah, way different era.
So let's move on to centre half. So you got Ledley. Yeah. Can you remember the Dawson. Other centre half? Dawson, bang on. Perfect.
Yeah, easy.
right hand side of midfield?
Sandro.
He was out and out winger, was a massive player for us in this period.
Aaron Lennon,
bang on.
Yeah.
Centre midfielder, so one's Jermaine Genus.
Sandro.
The other one, nope, it's not him.
This isn't Dembele, was it?
No.
No.
It was from Finland, this guy.
Not Tainio.
Timu Tainio.
What?
It was, you know,
he felt older.
He was a really, really underrated player, Timu Tainio.
Absolutely.
I really liked him.
He was a barrel, wasn't he? Just had the biggest torso. He just went boom through players, didn't he?
Torso Tainio.
Torso Tainio.
And up front, so we've got Berbatov, so you need the other. Robbie Keane. Well done. So the only position you've not got is the goalkeeper. It is a tough one. Do you want to have a punt at any more, or do you want me to give you, put you out of your misery?
I'm going to know.
Begins with C.
You sure it wasn't Guduccini?
It's not Guduccini.
He was around at
it's
that
It's not
time.
Guduccini. The goalkeeper was Radek Černý.
Oh, no.
Do you remember?
I did know. Do you remember? Yeah, I do remember him.
Because that season, Robbo was our number one and he had that dreadful spell where he was just all over the place.
I do remember Černý.
I think he had some things going on off the field as well, Rob, at that time. And Černý came in and was solid, got us to the final and then got dropped and he put Robbo in. So that team, 2008, Černý in goal, Chimbonda, King, Dawson, Lee, Lennon, Genus, Tainio, Malbronk, Berbatov, King. 10 years ago, that side. Think what our team would do to that. Demolish it, wouldn't it?
That was a good side.
It was a cup team.
But Berbatov and King, though.
Berbatov and King
were just...
But the rest of it's a cup
that
side.
That was just classic Spurs, wasn't it? Yeah. Just flimsy in so many corners of that 11. But Berbatov and King just turning...
Get you out of trouble.
Get you out of trouble.
Exactly. Friend of the show, Giles Edwards, tweeted in earlier, @_echoesofglory, and said, after Sissoko's tackle on Kovacic, what is your favourite Spurs tackle? Stop laughing at the back. If you can narrow it down, because I know you like your tackles.
What? We talked about that one. We also obviously talked about Aurier on Hazard towards the end.
I've got one from
which
over
I cheered.
The years.
I cheered that one.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone did.
Wait! God. I'll
tell you one. Eric Dier on Cesc Fabregas about 15 times in that game at Chelsea. In that game at the Bridge.
There was a brilliant tackle there.
I mean, he could have gone to prison for some of those tackles, and he only got a yellow, didn't he?
Yeah.
So they're the standouts.
Well, my favourite in the tackle is without a doubt Eric Lamella.
Yeah, he does.
Because he stands up the way he stood up to Jack Wilshere.
Oh, that was brilliant.
In the same fixture last year,
that was brilliant.
Just squared up to him.
He's just
laughed in his face and called him a pussy.
Who else does that?
And I think you almost don't want to break with that front four, but you do want someone in there. Just
it's a bit horrible.
Just a bit horrible in Xhaka's ear.
Yeah, because his head will go. His head will go, Xhaka.
His head will
go. If you get in his ear, he will. Yeah,
Emery will fire them all up. Xhaka will be really fired up,
and just get in his ear.
Yeah.
Him and Ali, just you've got to target one player, target Granit Xhaka.
Like, you know what I like about Spurs now is, you think back to good sides over the years, yeah. you used to hate some of their players,
yeah.
like Drogba. I used yeah. to hate him, Van Persie. Yeah. So much yeah. hatred. We've got players now yeah. that opposition hate.
Yeah.
Dele Alli is probably the main one. Everybody hates him.
Dele Alli is Chelsea public enemy number one.
And I love it. And I love that when he scored, he went straight over to the Chelsea fans. Didn't he? Was giving
come
it.
This way. Yeah. Don't go over
yeah.
there.
Anywhere you want to go, and he went straight to the Chelsea fans. Brilliant. Great question out there, Giles, about Spurs tackles. Yeah. I like that. Quick fantasy football update. So Richard Healy's still at the top of the league, 815 points, absolutely smashing it. James Lamont in second and Matt Downey in third. So that brilliant. Top three, you know, keep at it because you're absolutely smashing it at the moment. One final other update just before we finish the show is that if you're listening to us via SoundCloud, we've now moved our podcast to Audioboom. So please subscribe on there because we're only going to be publishing episodes on SoundCloud for the next few weeks. So it will no longer be available on there. So get yourself onto Audioboom.
Get on there. It's
subscribe
better.
Subscribe on there. It's much better.
Much better. Better sound quality.
Better sound quality, and Don sorted us out, so yeah. there we go. So cheers to Don for that. So yeah, do subscribe on there, and leave us a rating on iTunes as well if you get a chance. But thanks for listening, everyone. Jay, good to have you here as always.
Great to be back. Great
remember,
to be back.
Whatever happens, future's bright, future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realized until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. Curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy, and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael Van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe, and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles, and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.